been pretty strong in my heart since the first days of my salvation, because since I was saved, communion changed for me, because I knew what communion was before I actually came into a relationship with Jesus. And afterwards, communion meant a whole lot different, because communion to me was just some sort of ritual I went through so I could get my sins forgiven on Sunday, so I could go out and just do what I wanted to for the rest of the week, because, you know, God's forgiven me and I'm ready to go. I've been made right with God and I can just go forward. I had a big misunderstanding that that's not what communion was. Communion is a relationship with Jesus, and it's spending time with Him. And, you know, the more I got to read the scriptures and understand what communion was about, I understood that it was God wanting to spend time with me. And now it's a time when I want to spend time with God. As we go back, and we're going to look at some of the scriptures in the Gospels about how the disciples spent some time with Jesus. This is a time for us to spend time with Jesus, our Heavenly Father, our Savior, who died upon the cross and whose blood we get to celebrate in communion. All those things are relevant in what happens in communion. So for me, the change was so much more when I knew that it was Jesus and His blood that we were communing with, that we were celebrating one with another and with Him. It made a big difference to me that it wasn't just something for me to get something out of, but it was to understand what He gave to me. So that's why it made it more of a celebration as well. So you'll see how it's a celebration, but it's also a time for reflection and getting things in the right priorities and in the right manner. It helps me to give me the ears to hear what He has to say through His word as well, because it gets me back into that right relationship of the Lord. And it's not because I do something, but it's because of what Jesus has already done upon the cross that allows for that relationship to occur. And communion is now a part of my relationship with Jesus, like sitting at the table and having dinner with Jesus and fellowshipping with Him. And that's what the disciples got to have. You know, they got to sit down with Jesus and say, "What are we having for dinner?" We'll get to sit around the dinner table. It's, you know, for me, it just reminds me of the times, you know, when my kids were younger and we just order a pizza and sit down, you know, on the floor and eat pizza and just enjoy each other's company. To me, that's the same kind of a thing that which God is wanting from us in communion. But it goes even further beyond that, because communion's not salvation. Communion is a celebration of what happens through salvation, through Christ, what Christ has done for us. So I just want to make sure that was clear as we go forward, because, you know, some of what we're going to discuss, you know, I don't want it to get confused. So because we're doing this in remembrance of what He's done for us. And to go with communion, I went to the dictionary and I grabbed what the American Language Dictionary said. The act of sharing possessions or participating with one another. The act of sharing one's thoughts and emotions with one another or others. To intimately converse. An intimate relationship with deep understanding. Christians professing the same faith and rites. Sharing and celebrating Holy Communion. That's what the description was, you know, just in the dictionary. Communion also shows us how the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament wants relationship with us, because it binds those two things together. And as we look through the Gospels, we'll be able to see that a little bit better about how He loves us. And you know, it's not just in the Gospels, but it's also in some of the verses that we use every time we have communion, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And as we get into that, that's where I want to spend most of my time, but we will stop off in the Gospels first. And we'll talk about the Lord's Supper, or communion as we now call it most of the time. And it started at the first Passover celebration during the last week of Jesus' life, when Jesus and His disciples were getting together to celebrate the Passover. And there are lots of events in Passover that you know, also are used in communion, which is just very interesting in how it binds the God of the Old Testament with Jesus in the New Testament. It's the same God we worship. And the more I study the Bible, the more I know it's the same God throughout all 66 books of the Bible, which is neat how God is that way and how he's worked through our lives from the moment he created us in our mother's womb until we get to go be with him. He's working with us the same way as he works through the scripture, which is, I think, just an amazing way to look at things. So we get to celebrate that. Jews celebrate Passover today to celebrate being saved from Egypt, from the angel of death. They get to celebrate that the Lord has delivered them by painting the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. They celebrate that through Passover. We get to celebrate, you know, Jesus dying upon the cross for our sins. And it is a celebration because we're no longer dead in our sins. We are now made alive, which is such an awesome thing. I can't imagine. And I just love that communion is a celebration, and it's not just a funeral where we recognize, you know, Jesus' death, but it's also his resurrection and what occurred on that day when Jesus was crucified, but also on Resurrection Day when he gave life back to us. And that's what we celebrate, because he is our sacrificial lamb, you know, the one who died upon the cross and whose blood was shed for us. So that's great. And that's a whole nother passage that I'm a little ahead of myself. So on another day, we maybe get together and talk about all the different references between Passover and communion and how they bind together. But for me, this is just setting the basis for where we're going to head forward this evening. And if you have your Bibles ready, it's time for us to do a little Bible challenge and see if we can find all the scriptures in the Gospels. So if you have your Bibles, we can flip there. If you have your phones, you can, you know, grab those and see if you can keep up with me as we go. In Mark 14:12 is where I'm going to start with the first reference to the Lord's Supper. It starts with, "On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, 'Where do you want to go and prepare us to eat the Passover?'" That's the first part of that verse. And I just have a little thing here. You know, why do we use unleavened bread? Once again, this is to go back to Passover, because when the children of Israel left Egypt, they didn't have time to leaven the bread, so it was unleavened. And that's why the Jews celebrate Passover with unleavened bread. And that's why we used unleavened bread a lot of times, you know, in communion. It's not that we have to. It's just that that's one of the traditions that we use. Can you use regular bread or a cracker or a loaf of bread instead? Yes. But that's where the tradition comes from. And Passover traditions are very neat in just in how they relate with communion, as I was saying before. Sorry, that's just another little rabbit trail I go on. But to me, it just is fascinating how all this ties in together. "For today, let us continue." Mark 14:22. "While they were eating, he took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And when he had given it, he taken the cup, and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them, and they drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never drink of the fruit of the vine until the day I drink of it new in the kingdom of God.'" This is all a part of our worship, as the next verse says, and one of my favorite verses, I'm sure it's one of the band's favorite verses too, "And after singing a hymn, they went out." And that's a very important part of worship as well, just as communion and us studying the Word of God. They sang a hymn. Communion is worship to the Lord, just as singing hymns is worship. It helps us to restore and renew our relationship with the Lord. And that's another thing I want to keep recognizing, is restoring and making right our relationship. Okay, next is Matthew 26. We'll do 26 through 29. And it's very similar. All these passages are just talking about the Last Supper. And you'll see how they relate to the 1 Corinthians passage that takes a little bit from each of these. So Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And we had given taken the cup, and he had given thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The part that's added here that really gets me in this passage in Matthew is, and it's, I think it's very significant, and that's where he says, "For forgiveness of our sins." And he's talking about his blood being shed. And the disciples miss this point so many times. And what is he's saying this before it happens again, and they're still not aware that he is going to be sacrificing himself for them and for us. And sometimes we forget that that is what we celebrate at communion, is Jesus offering himself up. He didn't have to. He was pure. He was holy. He didn't have the judgment of sin coming upon himself. The judgment he suffered was for us and for our sin. And that's what I think we need to remember. And that's the part I want to talk about a little further on when we get to the passages in 1 Corinthians. Now we go into Luke. And there's another part in here that I like tremendously too. Luke chapter 22, 19 through 20. And you'll notice that these are all very similar because they're talking about the same time that they were all together having the Last Supper together. "And when he had taken the bread and he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This is the cup which is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me.'" That is not just a one-time thing, but it continues on in our relationship with Jesus. He wants us to do this in remembrance of him. It wasn't just that one time over 2,000 years ago that he wanted the disciples to do it in remembrance of him. It's every time we get together. He wants us to do that in remembrance of him. And that signifies that growing relationship that he wants to continue to have with us daily, weekly, monthly, whenever we have communion, whenever we get together with the Lord. That's what he's wanting us to do, is to do these things in remembrance of him. So now if we want to get to the passages that I really wanted to talk about, I think I'm just setting the scene for where we wanted to go. So this is the main part we're going to stay in for most of the rest of the evening. It's 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 34. These are the ones we use every time we get together for communion. And we usually just do verses 23 through 26. But you'll see I'm going to go a little bit further. I want to keep things in context and just to make sure we keep things focused on what the Lord truly wants us to do when we have communion and the seriousness of it, but also the celebration part of it as well. So 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 34. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup. 'This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And this is where we usually stop. And it's appropriate to stop there. But there's a little further that goes on in this passage. And I think the rest of this passage is very important for us to remember when we get into communion. For I think this helps us to get into a right relationship with the Lord. And it goes on to say, for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks can also drink judgment unto himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. For we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. And the remaining matters I will arrange when I come to you. Some of the problems that the early church had was they came together, and some people were coming hungry and would eat all the bread, and other people wouldn't get any. Some would drink the wine, and there wouldn't be any left for anybody else. And the Lord says that's not the way it was meant to be. We're to share it all one with another. And he wants us to make sure we do it with the right relationship. So he wants us to make sure we are informed of what communion is and what it isn't. One I've already talked about is it isn't salvation. What it is us communing with one another and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what it is doing it in remembrance of him, wanting us to be in a right relationship with him. Are we always in a right relationship with God? Have we at all ever sinned? I think that's what he wants us to do when he says examine ourselves. Do we have any wicked way in us? Just like in the passage in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. The things that we're lacking, we need to be made right back in. And I think that's what the Lord wants us to recognize when we come together in communion. And that's one of those things that's always been kind of strong in my heart is to remember is that we do need to examine ourselves and to look at where we are in relation to the Lord. Do we really want to be in fellowship with him? Do we want to hear what he has to say? And do we want him to actually even hear what we're asking him for? Do we want him to hear or do we just want to shout at him and be angry at him? Or do we want to really converse with God and allow him to tell us what he really wants us to do? There's things in this passage in 1 Corinthians that go back to the Gospels that talk about the Lord's Supper and that talk about communion on that day. He bore our sins upon the cross, and he said his blood that was pure and holy, not for his sins, but for our own. And that humbles me, and I think that should humble us all. It shows our need for our Savior and for the forgiveness of our sins, for they're great and they're small, and it doesn't matter if they're big or small. One sin separates us from the Lord. And he wants to have fellowship with us. And he wants us to have fellowship with each other and to make things right with each other as well. Communion is a time of remembrance and reflection, forgiveness and restoration. This allows us to get back into fellowship with our first love, with the one who gave us salvation, Jesus Christ, with the one who did suffer and die upon the cross. And when we feel distant and far from the Lord, it's good to come into communion, for it restores that right relationship with him. It puts things back in priority. It reminds us that God is a holy God in heaven, and that that's what he wants us to be, he wants us to be pure and holy, but we're not. But we know one who is and whose blood covers us, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And he wants to be back into that right relationship. So how do we get that right relationship back? We spend some time looking at ourselves and looking at the Lord, looking at God and who he is, that he is a holy God who didn't have to die upon the cross because he was pure and holy. He did it because he loved each of us. And what he did was a sacrifice. And what we do in communion is we offer ourselves back to him as a sacrifice as well. And I think that's one. Well, I think that's one of those things we forget that we forget what we're giving the Lord back is just what we are, and what we are is his creation. He created us from the very beginning. He knit us together in our mother's wombs. He knew that we were going to be sitting here this evening. He knew that you were going to be at the job you are. He knew you were going to be at those things. He's created us all for a purpose. And our purpose is to look to him and to share that with one another. And if you don't know if you have a purpose or not, come and see me or Randy after the service. There's a purpose and a reason for our life. It's not just useless and we're not just blowing in the wind. God has a purpose and a reason for us to be here. That's why he created us, for a purpose and a reason. So those are all things that are part of communion, because our God is one who wants that personal relationship with each of us. It's not just a ritual we go through. And I think we get caught up in those things so much that we need to remember that it's a relationship we want to be back in relationship with. It's a time when we get to come into church and we get to worship and we feel like, you know, we're getting close to the Lord. This is another avenue where we get to be close to the Lord. But he also wants us to spend some time in some thought about that. Can communion only be once every first Sunday or Saturday night of the month? No. Can it only be done in a church service led by a pastor in the front? That's one thing that might, you know, be strange to some people, because you can have communion in your own home. You can have communion at a Bible study at your house. You can have communion when you go out to dinner with another couple. You can have communion in very many places. What it takes is your heart being willing to want to be in fellowship with the Lord and with the other people that you're with. And I think that's one thing that we forget. Does it have to be an unleavened bread cracker and grape juice? No. 'Cause we read the scriptures. He took the cup, you know. And, you know, we can have that because we do it in remembrance of him. Take the bread. Remember that it was his body that was broken, that was whipped, that was beaten for us. We take the blood, the cup, to signify the blood in remembrance of the blood that was shed for us, that covers our sins, that allows us to get back into that right relationship with the Lord, that it isn't us that did anything for our salvation, that it's Christ who has done it all. And that's what we celebrate in communion. So those are the things you can do. You can have it with your husband and your wife sitting at home. You can have it with your friend when you're over and you're talking about the scriptures. You can have it at a men's Bible study at Serrano's. You know, you can have it after dinner tonight at Chili's if you go over to Chili's tonight after the service. You can have communion where you're loving the Lord and you're wanting to be in fellowship with the Lord and with other believers. And that's a good time to do that. You don't have to do anything weird or special. Just come back to the same passages what we're studying here in 1 Corinthians and just follow it as a guide. And that's what the Word of God is. It's a guide for us on how we live our lives and how the Lord wants us to be in relationship with him and with one another. And whenever we're not sure about where we need to do or where we need to go, we can always find it in the Word of God. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. So that's who we need to be remembering when we're doing and having communion together. Is we need to remember Jesus. It's in remembrance of me. Not for what you can get out of it. It's to refocus our eyes from ourselves back upon the Lord where it belongs. Because He is the holy and righteous God, where we couldn't be in relationship with Him. Why His Son had to die upon the cross for us to be in that right relationship with Him. Otherwise, that punishment would be upon ourselves. But He took that. And what a joy it is to know that the Lord has done that. And in verse 28, where Paul reminds us not to do this just as a part of ritual, but its relationship. And he warns us not to do it in an unworthy manner, and not just for food or drink, not just to be a pig and to get drunk, but to do this in the love of the Lord, so that we do it unto Him, so we do it in a right way, and we carry out the calling of God, and then we can do it as a good witness to one another. And we're loving one another just as He did by loving us, by living and dying and rising again. Communion prepares us to walk out in the mission that we were prepared for, that we were created for, and that's to share that love of God with other people as we go out day by day in wherever He has us being, because we can love the Lord in whatever job we're at. You can love the Lord in wherever you shop, wherever you live. You can love Him wherever you go. And He prepares us for that by, once again, setting our priorities right, by setting Him as first in our life. And I think that's what communion is all about. That's when all the disciples were about, it was about Jesus. It wasn't about them and their food. And that's what he was showing them by taking the bread and breaking it and giving thanks to who? His Heavenly Father. He gave thanks for that. You know, and it's just so great a time. I just love communion so much. And I think it's one of those things that I like to celebrate, but I also like to keep that proper reverence in communion. And it's a balance that we have to strike as we walk in the Lord. There's times when we're going to feel so unworthy, and that we need to be made worthy by the Lord through communion. And there's other times when we just want to rejoice about remembering the life of Jesus that lives inside of us, that we want that joy to just bubble out of us so that we can go forward and share that with one another. So we really just need to take some time and look at our condition before the Lord. We need to ask Him for forgiveness. And if we've wronged somebody, the Lord says we also need to seek that forgiveness from others too, because that can hinder our relationship with the Lord as well, if we don't have that forgiveness from one another. And does the body of Christ have troubles of being not in good fellowship with one another, that where we need to be forgiven and to be bound together and fellowship together and be in good communion? I think so. We have very many arguments, one church with another, one church with itself. We need to be made right one with another. And the Lord just wants us to make sure that we can get back into that right relationship. So He wants us to look at our own condition. But remember, He is the God who is holy, and that it's His blood upon the cross that makes us right, not by anything that we do ourselves, because we can't make ourselves more right. Sorry. So what we really want is to have that true relationship with Him and with one another. And that's what I desire, and I think that's what we all desire together. A time that we can rejoice and we can dance with one another and sing. I'm not asking us to get weird and have a dancing service or something. that would get me really in trouble with Tony tonight. but what I do want us to do is to examine our hearts and our minds as we get a chance to prepare to have communion together, one with another. Let's look into our hearts. Let's look at God as being the holy God who is asking us to be in right relationship with Him, who's asking us to remember Him as we take the bread, remembering Him as we take the cup, remembering His sacrifice, but remembering all that He wants to give us as well, which is His presence and His Holy Spirit, the power that He gave His disciples to go forward and to do things that they did. Yes, they weren't so smart to see that, you know, He was talking about His death and resurrection when He was giving the Lord's Supper. But later on, they did receive that power from the Lord to as Peter did walking into the temple. I don't have money, but what I have, I'll give to you. And He gives healing to a man. With power, they walked in. With salvation, they spread this gospel to the world that we celebrate now, because they walked in the power of the Lord. And that's what we want to do, is to be able to walk in that right relationship with Him. So communion is a time to repent and to believe and to celebrate all of what Jesus has done for us. He wants us to walk with Him each day, and we want to walk with Him. And as we do, we get to celebrate His forgiveness, His love, and fellowship. And if you want to walk with God and talk with God and hear Him, we can celebrate that tonight in communion one with another. So as we prepare to get together this evening to have communion, I would like us to look inside of our hearts and see where we are with the Lord. See what the Lord would want to say to us as we go forward. Does He want us just to live our lives like we have been? Or does He want communion as an event that would draw us back into a good relationship with Him, that would allow us to walk in a better relationship, that will allow us to share the gospel in a more powerful way with those that we meet and those that we see? Or is communion just a ritual that we go through so we can go out and just do our own thing? I don't think we should live in ritual. I think we need to live in relationship with Jesus. And that's what communion is about, one with another. And that's why we share communion the way we do. There's lots of different ways people have shared communion through the different churches I've been in. I've been in different churches where they take a whole loaf of bread and just pass it down the aisle and everybody just tears off a little piece. I've been in churches where they have little wafers and you have to come to the front to get it from somebody wearing a robe. There are different ways to have communion. But the best way to have communion is to be able to have it with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To have it with the Lord. To look to Him and to be restored back into a right relationship with Him. As we prepare for that this evening, I would like to spend a few moments in prayer as we prepare to have communion one with another. Heavenly Father, as we've looked at the Scriptures through the Gospels and through 1 Corinthians, we know that You are a holy and great God. We know that there isn't a way we can have a right relationship with You through our own power, but it's through the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus. That's why we do it in remembrance of You. And as we have a few moments here, let us search our own hearts to find out where we are in relationship with You, to remember You're a holy God and to remember that we are not. And I just pray, Lord, that You forgive me of my sin and help me to be able to celebrate the love that You have shared with us through giving Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, through the ways that You've shown in the Old Testament about how You delivered the people from Israel by them sacrificing the lamb and putting the blood on the doorposts and protecting them, the same way You want to live in our hearts and protect us from the evil one. And I pray that You would set us up to be in a right relationship with You and set us up to be a right relationship with one another so that we can be a strong body, Lord, individually and as a corporate body in fellowship with one another. I pray that You draw us closer together, that You allow us to walk in forgiveness and love, that You show us through Your life in the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for what You did. Thank you for the spending the time with the disciples and being able to sit down at that supper table. Help us this evening to do the same as we get together at this table. Help us to spend some time with you, to talk with you, to ask for our forgiveness, to ask what you want us to do forward from this day on, to ask how we can meet each other's needs. Help us to look to you in all that we say and in all that we do. And it's in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.